Welcome to the weekly. I'm Jeremy, and it's just me this week. Sorry, it's a solo cast. Chris was tied up with a sick daughter, so we'll go through some topics today, and maybe we'll talk about them again. We'll kind of refresh everything talk about them next week when I have a co-host, so we can get a little more back and forth. But this week on the weekly, the Gen Con Magic Heist update with some suspects. Daggerheart details from Gen Con. The Fire and Ice board game is on Kickstarter. And Joyride by Rebellion Unplugged, the guys that bought the rights for Tunnels and Trolls. All right, so let's get started with a wacky update for the Gen Con $300,000 heist, right? The nerd Ocean's 11, the Lufthansa robbery of the nerd world. So there were two people that they caught on camera, or that they suspected on camera from the convention, walking away with a pallet. They had a pallet jack and were walking away with a pallet of trading cards, which they, I think, determined were mostly, if not all, Magic the Gathering cards. And it turns out the two persons of interest that the Indianapolis police are looking at may have been identified as board game designers. So I guess it's kind of that's the end run around crowdfunding, is just robbing vendors at Gen Con. I mean, why wait for all those people to, you know, put their credit cards in and give you all the information when you can just, you know, yoink a pallet of Magic cards to fund your next project. So they have been named. So Thomas J. Dunbar and Andrew Pearson Guillaume. So there have been several sources have named them. So we're not new to this. Not the first ones here. So these are the two persons of interest, and the way that they kind of connected them was funny. So they had security camera footage from the Indiana Convention Center. The police looked at them and found out that one of them was wearing a T-shirt in other images of the two individuals before they had their pallet jack and before they're walking away with cards. They were wearing T-shirts promoting the board game that they kickstarted back in 2015, or I guess the previous project. They kickstarted a game called Castle Assault back in 2015. And we're wearing a T-shirt with the artwork and logo, Castle Assault logo and key art on a dark T-shirt appeared August 1st, so 2 days before the theft occurred. They were caught on camera, the same individuals wearing that, and they're assuming that they attended the show to sell Castle Assault or have a booth. More details, I'm sure, will come out, but that is the piece of information that connected, that gave us the identity of these individuals and connected them, because there are photos on Facebook of them standing in front of that logo at a booth of some sort, maybe in previous years, and then they were caught with the T-shirt. So I guess they didn't do it the day of, so they were clever enough the day of to just wear all black and not give away their company's ID or whatever on their T-shirts. But I guess they've the game has been present at numerous Gen Con conventions over the years, for the past 8 years. But this year they just decided no crowdfunding this year. We're gonna Lufthansa heist this bad boy and walk out with that much, $300,000 they're estimating. And I'm not sure if that's retail value or what they're assuming is, you know, this inflated secondary market for Magic cards. So they have names for their suspects, and we'll hopefully see mugshots if they are actually arrested and charged with this theft. So I would imagine unless you hired people, like third parties, to do something like this, you probably shouldn't do it yourself with all the cameras and security and the number of people that would spot you, because pulling a pallet doesn't look suspicious, but a lot of people are going to see you do it and they can put the timing together because you're doing it at a specific time of the day. They just have to isolate when that disappeared. And then your names get posted all over the internet. So it wasn't 11. It didn't take 11 people. It only took two. So the Gen Con 2 have been identified. So hopefully they're sitting on an island somewhere. They're in Costa Rica right now, opening packs. So how long do you think it would take to open a pallet worth of magic cards? And why wouldn't they do it on a live stream? So they're live streaming from their Bahamas getaway. But yeah, so the logo of their game that they crowdfunded appeared on both their social media and their t-shirts and at previous days. And that made the connection. So there we go. So we'll keep you updated as to what happens, and we'll find out if crime does not pay, or in fact this is the new way to get your game to market. So the Gen Con heist the plot thickens. So nobody bought their wife a fur coat or a pink Cadillac, but they did wear their company shirts, unfortunately. All right. And again, from Gen Con, we have, and I'm not sure. So this was listed. Daggerheart was listed on that list that we read previously to the podcast. There was a list of tickets sold maybe for the play tables at Gen Con. And Daggerfall did show up in the middle of that list. So it was demoed at the event. So we don't know details, if, because this is a new game, a new system, maybe first look for some people, are there NDAs? Are there like no cameras? You know, do they request no cameras? Because somebody did take a quick, take a few sneaky snaps, quickly with their, smartphone. So we got a couple of blurry images of character sheets and cards, hint, hint, there's going to be cards. And details about how this game played. So I think it was comicbook.com that posted, so the character sheet on comicbook.com on YouTube posted some of this information. It's been kind of going around to tabletop YouTubers. And it's surprising. Some of these details are surprising and a bit disappointing. So this is the fantasy system that Critical Role will probably be moving away from 5e to their original homebrew system, or, you know, their original, originally designed system, and will be published by Darrington Press, probably their publishing arm. And who knows if it's going to gain traction. We've already had their take on Blades in the Dark with their Candela Obscura system. And so what is Daggerheart? How are they going to be playing fantasy roleplay on Critical Role in the future? Well, it's a 2d12 system. So if you've really felt bad all these years about that neglected d12 that hardly ever gets rolled, well, there you go. You get two of them now. And in the system, those two d12s need to be different colors because they represent two different mechanics or two different things. So one will be the hope die and one will be the fear die. And you're rolling against, you know, target numbers on these D12s. And whichever is higher and succeeds means that you succeeded in hope or you succeeded in fear, or with hope or with fear. And that will mean, so if you succeed with hope, I get to see Conan. Conan swings his mighty sword in hope. And there's a hope resource, so maybe something similar to momentum or, you know, inspiration or something that is generated by succeeding with hope. So it's kind of a yes, a pass in the situation, and you may get some sort of narrative bonus. If you succeed with fear, it will be a mixed success, and there may be some sort of narrative consequence. So similar to rolling, you know, not quite a success in a Powered by the Apocalypse or some of the games that have a success with conditions type thing. So that's a little strange, and that's not going to really fit everybody's idea of fantasy role play, but you are using D12, so D12 producers are so happy now, they're going to sell more. And the details on character creation, so it's going to be very modular and similar to Gloomhaven, it's card-based. So you've got a character sheet with a lot of slots for cards, and you're just going to be putting these cards in to represent, then the text of the card will have a lot of the mechanics or the, maybe the flavor text or whatever to flesh out the system. So you have an ancestry, which is basically a hometown, a class, and the class will have different domains. So each class can have two domains. So it will maybe flavor the, it sounds like it's going to be very standard fantasy classes, but the domains may help you flavor them differently. So you can, specialize in healing or specialize in stealth or something with your class to make it a little more to your play style and more to the kind of, idea you have for your character. And there'll be abilities that you can access from these cards. And you can only have 5 active abilities at once. And I think this will all be represented by cards, not actually like written in a character sheet. But so illustrated cards and the kind of fuzzy photos we saw of them, they look like they're going to be nicely illustrated and very similar to Gloomhaven. The look of it will be very similar to like laying out cards for your Gloomhaven character. And the world building. So the world building is going to be collaborative. They're going to work together. So all the weight's not going to be on the GM. The players are going to be asked to describe and name the city that they're adventuring in. And this description that I read, which was on daggerheart.org, which looks like it was a website that was built by text-to-speech or speech-to-text, by speech-to-text, because it was a description of everything with a lot of and ums in it. So I don't know what that means. So somebody did a quick and dirty website talking to their WordPress or whatever. So instant stakes in the city, and you'll name the major PCs and be, involved a lot in the narrative setup of the game. So I guess that, and I think it's meant to be very campaign, friendly, your world building and then creating a campaign, probably similar to what Critical Role has done in their 5e campaigns. So group world building and then death and damage have a little bit different mechanics as well. There's a threshold system and you have 3 different thresholds that you can take damage to. So when damage is rolled on different dice, if it doesn't beat a certain threshold, you don't take any points of damage. And so I guess different classes may be able to handle, whatever it's going to be, like mental or physical or energy, whatever these types of thresholds will be. There are no death saves. So instead of death saves, you can kind of make a decision once you're at 0 points in any or all of these thresholds. You can make a decision to do 3 things. Your character can go out in a blaze of glory, meaning that they get a guaranteed critical, so an automatic critical success, and take their opponent with them. They can lose all hope, which will fuel different abilities or help aid others or yourself. So if you lose your hope, I guess you can spend all of that to try to resurrect yourself or try to help somebody else if you're going for it. If the total party kill seems to be happening, or you can roll your hope or fear, roll your hope and fear, and hope for to get a high. The third way is basically just rolling both dice and trying to get higher in hope and having some sort of narrative consequence. So you'll die, but there'll be some positive thing that happens or negative thing that happens when your character goes. So they also named 27 ancestries, so that's going to be a lot. And then the classes are mixed, like I said, with the domains. So like, rogues or rangers or whatever will have different things they can kind of spec into. So a little bit more, like computer RPG and that thinking. And yeah, so it sounds really, really odd. And maybe if the mechanics just get out of the way and, you know, they're going to be able to switch the systems behind the scenes and you're not going to really see the difference between 5, you know, 5e's not there. They're rolling D12s instead of D20s and they're rolling two of them. But other than that, the actual plays remain the same. We'll have to see. So yeah, so they are, it looks like a system with mechanical crunch and narrative storytelling kind of balanced. But of course, for their actual plays, they're going to want, you know, heavy narrative storytelling. So we'll see. We'll see how this is received. And as more people that were at these tables, you know, kind of leak information. And then as Darrington Press or Critical Role officially, you know, starts talking about this system and then starts playing it, we'll get an idea. And I'm curious because, you know, we looked at those numbers. D&D still dominates. And the curiosity of this got some people at the table. But will this actually take a big enough bite, you know, more than the 10% that Paizo has? Will this take a big enough bite out of 5e to even matter? And will the success, the continued popularity of Critical Role go on without 5e? I mean, if they do part ways once this new revised 5e thing's happening next year and Daggerheart's rolled out, will people just stick with those characters and stick with the thing that they love? The critters will stick with it, or will people be, you know, just, or will they stick with 5e? So I guess we're going to find out. It's kind of like the parents, you know, calling the puppy or the child both to them and come to me. And we'll see where the critters actually toddle off to. Will they stay with wizards or will they, follow their wonderful, all that fan art that they did. They don't want it to be irrelevant. And follow Critical Role into the Daggerheart system. So, yeah, neither of those sound, none of those things sound amazing or very innovative. It's funny. I mean, there's interesting things if you're going to stick with a D12. It's not as swingy as a D20. And there's interesting things you can do with it because it's divisible. Like, you can basically only roll the same dice. I don't like this, you know, fear and hope thing. But a D12 is could be fun if your system is just based on, like, multiples of 3 or multiples of 4 and you're kind of breaking things down. Because you can roll a D12 and get all sorts of, you know, get a D6 out of it, you can get a D4 out of it, you can get a D3 out of it. So, you know, that there's some things that you could kind of play around with in that system, sticking to minimal dice use. But it sounds like they're going to have the full, you know, D4 through D, maybe not 20, maybe 12 will be as high as they go. But yeah, that was unexpected. And I don't love the hope and fear. I think that's a little soft. I think, you know, kind of pulpier, you know, blood and guts, you know, sword and sorcery kind of role play is not gonna need a lot of fear and hope mechanics. So we'll see. But maybe it's a new system for a new generation of weak-ass players. Anyhow, well, speaking of old school and sword and sorcery, there is a board game based on a classic Ralph Bakshi film. So Dynamite Entertainment, I guess. They're broader than comics. Dynamite Entertainment has the license for the Frank Frazetta and Ralph Bakshi film Fire and Ice. And so Fire and Ice is going to get a miniatures adventure game. So that's currently on Kickstarter. And it's set to be released in May, I guess, of next year. Released in May. And game is inspired by the film. The screenplay was written by Roy Thomas and Gary Conway. And basically the setting, if you don't know, it's a very rotoscoped, surprise, surprise, Ralph Bakshi in the 70s and 80s. It's a very rotoscoped, but the character art, of course, the character designs are based on Frazetta illustrations, but they, you know, it's very slow moving and quiet and, is just a lot of people climbing on things and probably in 16 millimeter film that was then, you know, rotoscoped with the Frazetta character designs. So the setting is the Kingdom of Fire, the glacial sorcery of the evil Lord Necron and the heroes of Fire Keep. So those are the two kind of opposing forces, and it's basically everyone in loincloths. Some people looking more sinister than others, and more primitive than others as well. So there's going to be card play and dice involved in this miniature game to resolve the battles. It's a competitive tactical skirmish level game, but there is also going to be a rules light role-playing game system. So you can actually play narratively and play stories with what they're going to give you in the board game in kind of a rules light RPG. So you can have your, you know, play your own version of the events of the film and see if anybody puts any clothes on. So the game will include a dozen 32 millimeter miniatures, 72 cards, six 10 sided dice. So it'll be D10s, 200 tokens and four game boards, which will variously have jungles and fire and ice on them. And of course, they're going to unlock additional miniatures and materials for the game as the campaign succeeds. So 1 to 2 hours for gameplay. So yeah, so Dynamite is got the rights to this. So, but this also means, so Dynamite is working with Sarah Frazetta, the grandchild of Frank. And so she's involved with them writing some of their other comics. I think she's doing a Vampirella series with them. But this also means that there's going to be a Fire and Ice, or maybe it's already being published, a Fire and Ice comic series. Bill Willingham, an old illustrator from early D&D, is working with Dynamite to write. Oh, it's a prequel. Yeah, it's a prequel series to the Fire and Ice films. So they're going to be launching this, I guess, along with the board game. So it's not out yet. And there'll be a nice, some nice cover illustrations. Of course, there'll be alternate cover designs for Fire and Ice number one. So the one thing though that complicated this crowdfunding, I took a look at the page and it's pretty straightforward. The game, you know, the game and the components look pretty straightforward, but the pledge levels have way too much. Dynamite is promoting the comic book. They're promoting signed comic books. They're promoting art cards, the alternate covers on, you know, collector cards and stuff. So there's so many pledge levels. That's all kinds of random stuff, which would have been better as just add on or things you can, you know, get in the pledge manager, but they're listing all the things. So the game is only one of maybe you know, eight or ten options that all involve getting some other Dynamite property that's being produced through this, you know, Fire and Ice IP, whether it's art illustrations or the comic books or whatever. So yeah, that's a little confusing, and it's probably going to hurt them ultimately in the amount that they make. But yeah, they're a comic book company, and so alternate covers and signed, you know, signed work and stuff is their bread and butter. So I guess it's, you know, it's a comic book company doing a crowdfunder. So I'll put a link to this, and I didn't see the date on when this closes, but it's still going on right now. I'm not sure how much. Oh, thanks for the follow. Excellent. Yeah, I don't know how much we're going to... it's going to see as far as success. Cause when you do that stuff, when you kind of confuse people with, wait, what am I backing here? And I wanted a board game and you're trying to sell me comic books. Sometimes that tends to hurt these types of campaigns. So we'll see how it goes. The miniatures look okay. They're just showing you 3D renders, and it's cool to see those characters that, you know, the Frazetta designs done in 3D, but we're just getting 3D renders. We don't have any, maybe there, I don't think there's any prototype, like actual plays. They're a little on the generic side. They're not too stylized one way or another. If you're really going to lean into the Frazetta stuff, they might be a little more muscly, ripply and detailed and stuff. But they, you can tell who the characters are. You know, they're very, obviously, those characters from the film. And I wonder if this rules light RPG is kind of just an afterthought to kind of have value added, or if it is actually going to be something that'll be fun to do with the game. So we'll see. So check that out if you're interested in it. I don't know. I'm kind of like, I like that setting. I like that film. But it's a product of its age. And we had so little, you know, sword and sorcery kind of fantasy stuff. I mean, it was the only, animated film where we actually saw, you know, had that kind of experience, because, you know, something like Wizards and stuff was a much more wackier and cartoonier fantasy setting. Still a lot of rotoscoping. So this was, you know, realistic looking characters, Frazetta character design, and a tense and weird setting. There's a lot of, you know, capture and escape and things, and you know, pretty brutal looking hand-to-hand combat. So yeah, if they get that kind of feeling across with the board game rules and stuff, that might be nice. So we'll see. And yeah, so Dynamite is gonna try to cash in on this. And there was on the page too, Ralph Bakshi even had a statement that said, he wishes Frazetta was alive to work on this project, and he hopes that it's successful. So they were in touch with Ralph Bakshi about this project, and he gave his blessing. So it doesn't seem to be, you know, a cash grab. It seems like, well, I mean, yeah, they're grabbing some cash, but it's not solely that people are, it's a bit of a passion project, but because it's a comic book company, you know, they seem to not be handling the crowdfunding. They're like, hey, comic books, you guys like comic books, right? It's like, well, wait, with this, it's a board game. You can add that in or do a separate campaign for your comic book, but you don't have to put everything you're producing for this IP all in here at once. And staying on the Kickstarter, so the company Rebellion Unplugged, the company that just recently acquired the rights for Tunnels and Trolls, and I guess all of the Trollhalla, they're also doing a, or they're not doing, but the rights were bought back from them for Trollhalla to do, the original guys to do the Traps series of books. They're going to republish those for, I think, updated for 5e, as that kind of hardcover slipcase set. So we'll see those again. But what I'm talking about and what's currently on Kickstarter is Joyride: Survival of the Fastest. So it's a hex-based kind of fast-paced action driving game. So I guess it's a race with weapons and traps and things. So, like, you know, it reminded me very much, and especially the top-down design of the game board pieces reminded me very much of early Car Wars art. It's but it's more stylized, more the color scheme and everything is brighter and more, you know, like 2000 AD. British 80s British comics style. So a car combat on a track for up to four players. So Pi Par is the comic book artist that's doing the work, and it's beautiful artwork. It if you like Tank Girl or any of the more gonzo 2000 AD properties and those artists, he's definitely one of those talented artist to bring that kind of frenetic crashing and falling apart car combat imagery. So it looks good. They did a couple levels of the pledge. So the basic game itself is going to contain 20 dice, 32 damage tokens, 24 ability tokens, initiative markers, gear sticks, and they do like little playing pieces that represent so similar to other car games. I'm totally blanking on the Osprey car combat game, but you shift gears. So the gear that you're in, so on your little dashboard, you actually have a gear shifter to mark what gear your car is in. And so the same way that it'll have consequences. So, you know, safe or reckless for maneuvers. And I think you're going to be rolling in that same way. So I'm curious if the system is as satisfying or as fun as Car Wars or a Gaslands. That's right. Or similar to, it looks a bit similar to Gaslands. Like you're in a gear and you're rolling against that, and there's little consequences, and also weapons and pickups. So maybe Mario Kart style pickups. But yeah, the pieces, and it's, I think it's 1-inch hexes. So the cars themselves were surprisingly big. It's like a 2-inch car piece that, you know, has that maneuvers on a track. So instead of having to use a tool to measure, you know, your drift or the angle of certain maneuvers, you can just, you're using hex shapes and things. So that simplifies that a little bit as far as maneuvering. But the basic pledge is, £50 UK. So I think like 60 some dollars. And that gets you the basic set with the, a couple of maps and the rule book and then all the other, you know, the crazy amount of game pieces. There's an expansion, called the Next Gen, which gives you 2 more cars, and then 10 more dice and then, you know, new abilities and things to go along on the 2 new gear sticks. So everything is color coded. So you can easily identify, you know, which driver is which. And then of course there's the turbo boosted pledge, which is everything. And that will include the exclusive downtown expansion, to everyone that pledges, which will give you a, there's like a irradiated, big day out. That's right. Big day out is, the scenario where there's a radiated mutant on the track that, must be avoided during the race. So they do say, even though that expansion, is exclusive content to this Kickstarter, they may offer it in the future on their web store or in person at conventions. It's not going to go to retail though, but the main box and its expansion, the 2 additional car expansions will be a retail release, and it looks fun. It's a pretty big board. They are doing 56 by 80 centimeter board, so it's a pretty decent sized board. There's a lot of room on it, so that's nice. They didn't like miniaturize it and scale it down. So you're going to need a decent sized table to play it on, but that means that the tracks themselves, and there's exclusive tracks, of course, being designed for the crowdfunding. And if you pledge, sorry, it's too late for this, but if you pledged early, there were some special gate tokens that maybe aren't cardboard or the same wooden token. So I think a lot of the cars and everything, I think it's going to be printed. It's going to be screen printing on wooden tokens. And they had deluxe wooden gate tokens that were included free in the first 5 days of the campaign. Unfortunately, we're beyond that, but I think you can still get those in the pledge manager for additional £10. So yeah, so nice bright day-glow colors and really a fun-looking car combat game. So yeah, if you're a fan of Car Wars or Gaslands and want something a little bit, it seems much more focused on racing and pickups and less with like, you know, equipping a car, and specking out a combat vehicle. But, yeah, it looks fun and has a nice design. And, Rebellion Unplugged has done some nice stuff. So previously, Rebellion is the company that has the rights to 2000 AD. So they, have been producing, things related to all of those properties. And they also did their event. They had a series that was pretty cool, that kind of got, a little derailed by the pandemic, but their adventure series, forget what the exact name of it was, but they were having it was a magazine. It was like an RPG in a magazine. So there's a scenario and a system in a magazine that they were going to release. I think the plans were like, you know, monthly or bi-monthly or something for a while. But that got completely derailed. So a different experience, like with every different publication. And the first 2 of those are out, and those are fun. Those are really nicely made. The first one, I did a little flip through on the channel. I'll put a link to that so you guys can see, but they do, the quality of their components and everything is really nice. And I really had hopes for this RPG magazine to do well, because it you know, you can unfold the staple and then you have handouts for the game, you have maps for the game, and then you have the rules, which are usually pretty simple D6 based rules, and the scenario itself. So yeah, I think Rebellion Unplugged is doing some decent stuff, and they're going to be handling the new version of Tunnels and Trolls. So hopefully it's in good hands. We'll know it'll look good, but hopefully they'll have some respect for the original system and everything. And so we'll see the revival of that as well. But in the meantime, you can do some combat racing with Joyride. Nice. But yeah. Yeah, so they're best known. They're the publisher now, I guess, of 2000 AD and this Unplugged, version that is coming out is their board game, and I think they're re-releasing the old Rebellion Unplugged is releasing the old the classic all the Dread stuff. Judge Dredd and some of those board games that were done in the 80s, they're re-releasing, or they remastered and kind of are re-releasing. What's the name of that series? Yeah, it's like adventure series that it's basically an RPG in a magazine. But yeah, they've got good connections with a lot of publishers, so hopefully things will go well, and that they're well-funded enough that... once Tunnels and Trolls hits its new edition, they'll go all out for that. And hopefully, it's probably be crowdfunded, but yeah, we'll see. So yeah, links to all that stuff in the description of this video. And that's it. That's going to wrap it up for this solo cast. So yeah, thanks for watching or listening. And yeah, let us know in the comments what you think of Daggerheart, or if you're interested in either of those crowdfunders. Dynamite getting that, trying to revive Fire and Ice. I mean, that's a beloved, a lot of people have a lot of nostalgia for Fire and Ice. I watched it just recently and remembered how slow, it's a slow, almost 70s pace, not much music. Very quiet and a lot of rotoscoping, and after a while rotoscoping just kind of grates on you. That was a big fallback. I would really love, like, so Bakshi used the same thing to do the Lord of the Rings film, a lot of rotoscoping. He also did this weird printing, almost like a Xerox high contrast printing of frames to just take images of soldiers on horseback and people dressed as goblins and actually use that footage. But in rotoscoping, basically you're tracing over film frames and making them into animation cells. And so Lord of the Rings is heavy in that, but I would love to see the original film. I wish they would release all of that. There was probably 8mm or 16 that they shot of those actors, performing performing all those gestures and everything. And I'd love to watch that with a sync to the audio of the film itself, just to see how ridiculous Galadriel and Aragorn looked in their costume. The poor the poor players on a stage acting out the Lord of the Rings. That would be almost as entertaining as the final product. But I digress. So of course, check out Chris, who hopefully will be back next week, at Hive Mind on all social media. And you can find me at Abuse Cartoons weekly. I do a live stream drawing my cartoon. So Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitch, and Abuse Cartoons on all social media. If you want to read that cartoon, gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And if you want to support what we're doing here with the weekly, you can just simply subscribe or like this video. That helps a lot. But you can also become a member on Patreon. So we have if you specifically want to support the weekly, we have a weakling level tier pledge on Patreon. So patreon.com/upturntable. Become a weakling and let us know what you want to see more of. If you enjoy the Kickstarter looks and previews, or if you just want to talk game systems and news. So what you want the weekly to be, we want to kind of shape it to the audience. So check out the Patreon, and also upturntable.com is where everything gets posted, and upturntable on all social media. So I'll be posting some of our raw audio for the previous game sessions we played, and we'll be doing a live stream of just of the audio and basically the VTT, like one shot of of what I guess what I'm seeing on my VTT for our game sessions. And the future, we'll be finishing up the next one we'll be doing is Knave, so check that out tomorrow. Knave second edition with some tweaks by Matt. And in the future, some Star Trek and all kinds of stuff. I'd love to get back to there's some other systems that would be fun to play, and maybe some Traveler. Yeah, who knows? There's all kinds of things that I'll be angling for to get to the table, the virtual table, on our Friday night sessions. So thanks for joining me, and we'll be back next week with hopefully not just me. And it's good to see everyone in the chat, and thanks for joining us. Goodbye.